Hey, it's Dan Riccio.
And Satyar Shah.
Join us for Canucks Central, where we will set up the game and break down the latest around the Canucks.
4 to 6 p.m. and post-game on Sportsnet 650 and wherever you get your podcasts.
Wolf and Dominic Schermati here with you. Brother. Coming to you live from the Kintec studio. Kintec, Canada's favorite orthotics provider. Powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews, sore feet. What are you waiting for? Find your perfect fit at kintec.net. You can text in 650-650. The Dunbar Lumber text line. Dunbar Lumber with three stores to serve you. In Ladner on Bridge Street. Dunbar Lumber Express at Ladner Center. Or Arbutus in Vancouver online at dunbarlumber.com. Big day! The Vancouver Canucks taking on the Vegas Golden Knights. Potential playoff preview. It's getting a little less likely now, but potential. It's still there.
Yeah.
How are you, Dom?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. But yeah, Canucks taking on the Golden Knights tonight at 7. On the show as well, Yannick Hansen, Tuesday regular here on The People Show. We'll talk to him about a lot of stuff, including Dakota Joshua, who has just been killing it for the Canucks. And also, did you know, Dom, that Yannick Hansen is the most, the record holder, I guess, for the most unsung hero wins by a Canuck?
I did know that.
He's won the Fred J. Hume Award 3 times.
Sick.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Good for him. At a certain point, though, it's like, you won 3 times, maybe you're sung.
Big players, big plays.
Okay.
We're not doing this again.
That was a one-day thing. We gave you an allowance.
You're doing it now.
I do it off-air, Dom. This is a professional workplace, and it's time to act like
Sketch
it. Eat
is
your
professional.
Tuna, eat your tuna and crackers, and
I
let's
had that
get...
today.
Yeah, I know. I saw. I was disappointed.
By the way, how does anyone function with these headphone plugs?
You just deal with it. It's time for the tea.
Can barely hear you. This is a problem.
Just take your headphones off.
Maybe it's your fancy
also,
headphones.
Yeah, by the way,
no, it's not my fancy
Dom
headphones.
Rolls in with AirPod Maxes today.
I did.
These aren't tax deductible, fellas.
I tried.
He paid for these. The 32 Thoughts budget is out of control, apparently.
No, they were on sale.
They don't go on sale.
They did.
They're AirPod Maxes. It was like a $50 sale, if anything.
No, it was $150.
Negligible amount.
Negligible.
Anyway, came in trying to flex on us.
No, I wasn't.
Time for the tea.
The hottest bit of tea today. Thatcher Demko went on the ice after the optional skate today.
Yeah. So in Vegas,
yeah,
he went on ice for the after the optional skate. So not skating with the team, but good sign ahead of this the Saturday. He can potentially come off the injured reserve. So, I mean, we'll see if he gets in on Saturday. I don't know if there's like this big rush to get him back as long as he's still trending at the way they would like him to trend.
Yeah.
It's obviously a very good sign. You want to see him back on the ice and moving towards a potential return. So it's nice to see that things are still on track for the team. And that's something like they haven't seemed very concerned about Demko's injury. It's kind of the opposite of whatever's going on with Elias Lindholm, where it's like, hey, we don't really know what's going on and we're not going to tell people what's going on. With Demko, it's they've been pretty upfront about when he's potentially going to come back, that there haven't really been any setbacks on this injury. And I mean, I'm really interested to see how he plays when he does get back, because if he can be like he was good before he got injured, but early season Thatcher Demko was out of this world.
Hashtag the start.
Yeah. So if he can be that Thatcher Demko again, where not only is he Vezina caliber, like nominated goalie, but now at the beginning of the year, he was probably the Vezina favorite. If he can be that, my hopes for what the Canucks can do in the postseason go way, way up if he can return to that form. And again, not that I had any issue with how he was playing before, but it's just it's a huge addition for the Canucks. And it's, again, nice to see that he is on track as skated after today's optional skate.
He will have 6 games he's eligible to play in against LA, Vegas, Arizona, Edmonton, Calgary, and Winnipeg. Okay, so, next bit of tea. This coming from Rick Dollywall. Today reporting that Dakota Joshua will net upwards of $3 million per season on July 1st. Is that too rich for your blood, or is that just the right amount?
Not at all, man. I was co-hosting with Jamie on Friday on Canucks Talk.
Subtle flex, but okay.
Oh, not as much as your headphones, that's for sure. But we were talking about this a little bit, and honestly, I'm at the point where, like, you paid Dakota Joshua not whatever he wants, but I'm willing to go above where I would have been a few months ago, because I just think that the rarity that he's such a rare type of player, especially if he can continue to progress offensively and if he has a little more in the tank there. But even without that, like, if he's playing PK1, he's playing on a key line on your team, that to me is a guy that you pay $3.5 million for if you need to. Like, I'd be willing to go, I was thinking about this yesterday, like 3 years, $10 million total, you know, it's like 3 by 3.3. I don't know if he takes that. I don't know if it's enough for him. And I do wonder as well, hey, if he's good in the playoffs, I could see a team around the league being like, yeah, whatever, we'll throw $4 million, $5 million per season at you. You got to turn your headphones on or your microphone on.
If
Benning had a job, sure. But even then, like, this is the type of player that I think GMs look at and they're like, oh, boy, let's give him so much money.
Right, but in the Roussel era, we all talked about how, like, you don't pay the Roussels and the Beagles. You go out and you find the next guy.
Yes.
That'll turn into Roussel.
The reason I think you pay Joshua is it's so much harder to find a Joshua than it is to find a Beagle or a Roussel. Like, the Canucks let a better, younger, cheaper Beagle go when they signed Beagle, when they let Nick Dowd go.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the kind of guys, like, personally, I think Teddy Bluger is a great player. I don't know if I overpay Teddy Bluger to keep him. I still think I would want to keep him on the team if it's at a reasonable number, but I don't go above and beyond to keep him like I would for Dakota Joshua. And that's kind of where I'm at with him. 650, 650. Clay, give him Jay Beagle money. And also unsigned Jim Benning paid Tanner Pearson $3.5 million. That's kind of where I'm at. Like, Dakota Joshua, I think, has a bit more, I don't want to say upside than Tanner. Like, Tanner Pearson, when he was healthy, was worth $3.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
I had no issue with that contract. And Dakota Joshua, if he keeps playing like this, I think would be worth $3.5 million. Is that crazy to say?
No, I don't think that's crazy to say. But I also think that if you look at the player, so he's currently making $825,000 per season.
Mm-hmm.
He's 27. He's like the prototypical talk it guy.
Yes.
And I wonder how much of playing for talk it we credit to his play this year. Like, personally, I don't think Dakota Joshua thrives in another environment quite like he does under Rick Tocchet. That's not to say he wouldn't have an uptick of a season.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying I think this is his max output, and a large part of that is due to Rick Tocchet. How valuable is that to you in contract negotiations if you're the player?
Right.
Because if you still want to compete at a high level and you acknowledge that, you know, you're in a place where you're doing that, do you take a little bit less to stay where you are because you know you can play in this system, you get along with the coach gets along with you, or do you just go out, get the bag, and throw caution to the wind, and maybe you land yourself with a coach that doesn't suit your play style as well as Rick Tocchet does?
The other part that comes up, and you kind of mentioned it, is he's making less than $1 million this year, Dakota Joshua.
Yeah,
is.
This is his chance to get the bag.
Exactly. So when you haven't really made a lot of money in your NHL career relative to your peers, when you have a season like this where everything is going right, you're playing for a coach that highlights your strengths, mm-hmm. and puts you in a position to succeed, it's very tempting, and I don't fault him at all if he does go to free agency just to see what's out there. Maybe it ends up being like, hey, he signs back with the Canucks for a deal because he wasn't able to find something extraordinarily great on the market. But again, I just keep coming back to how rare of a player this is. And would it be surprising if a team overpaid him, especially a team that's on the bubble of the playoffs, looking to add a tough guy who like can produce for you? We saw Ryan Reeves get multiple years on the contract last year, and he is bad at hockey, but he can hit guys and he's a big player. Dakota Joshua.
He's not Ryan Reeves.
Yeah, he's not Ryan Reeves, no. But he's a souped up version of that, where not only is he big and tough and finishes his checks, but he also can score. He has soft hands. He's good on the penalty kill. He's a valuable player. And I just wonder if teams look at him and they think that the Canucks helped him figure out who he would be in the NHL and then want to take him from that and put him in maybe a top six role. And maybe we see the Canucks put him in that position before the end of the season as well. We saw him play with JT Miller and Connor Garland as well. I think it's going to be really interesting to see how much he gets paid in the offseason. And like guys like him tend to get overpaid. I wouldn't go so far as to like overpay him dramatically if I'm the Canucks, but I'm willing to bite the bullet a bit, overpay him a little bit to keep him in Vancouver.
Sounds like he could be your unsung hero.
I feel like he's been sung a little bit too much.
So the Canucks have open team awards voting. That's a bit of tea from yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Is he too sung? And what is unsung? Because we've seen players in the past who have been sung,
mm-hmm.
and they won the unsung.
Let's run through some of the recent winners. So last year, Dakota Joshua won.
Yeah.
The year before, Luke Shen, Tyler Mott.
See, but Luke Shen,
he was sung quite often.
He was sung so hard.
Yes. Yeah. People couldn't stop singing, yeah. Man. Tyler Mott, same situation.
Sung.
JT Miller sung. In his first year in Vancouver. That was silly. Yeah. What were we doing, guys? He was on the first
this
line.
This award doesn't make sense.
So if I had to bet on a player that would get it, I'm going to say it's going to be Nils Höglander.
Really?
Because I think people are going to be like, oh, man, Höglander. Nobody talks about him. But we talk about him all the time.
Big Niles guy.
And like over 20 goals, you know, unsung hero. I could mm-hmm. see him winning it. If I had to pick, I would probably go with, look, if Carson Soucy had been healthy all year, I would have said Carson Soucy.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm probably going to go with Noah Juulsen. When we talk about unsung, who talks about Noah Juulsen? You know?
Yeah.
And I think he's just been a steady force on the back end, good third pair guy. I would give it to Noah Juulsen. And especially on the penalty kill, he's been very, very good on the PK shorthanded. He's taken a lot of strides this year. As have a lot of players under
Tocchet. Okay, but is this the most improved player award, or is this an unsung hero award, Josh? You have to differentiate.
I think when we talk about the Canucks defense improving, he's a big part of that. So I think he's an unsung hero. Realistically, like if we're giving it to a defenseman, Noah Juulsen or Ian Cole.
I was thinking Ian Cole.
Satyar Shah said Ian Cole, so yeah. I didn't want to take his answer.
Sat loves himself and Cole.
He does. He does. So I would either go Cole or Juulsen, especially when he's like Cole has been playing so many minutes for this team and.
Yeah.
He's been such a steadying force as well. Either of them, I'm that's who I would give it to. I just feel like the tier of guys, the Nils Höglander, Connor Garland, Dakota Joshua, we've talked about them so much this season.
That's why sneaky pick for me, Pugh Suter.
Really?
Yeah.
Pugh Suter.
Just a consistent bottom six guy, always there. He had a little stint in the top six, mm-hmm. you know? Steady Eddie, Pugh Suter.
I'm here for that as well. I can get on board with that as well. That might be your best take the week.
We have to remember, unsung hero. Connor Garland, sung this year.
Sung
Dakota
so
Joshua,
hard.
Sung this year. Nils Höglander, sung this year. You know who hasn't been sung? Pugh Suter.
Unless you're Thomas Drantz.
Actually, even Sam Lafferty's been sung this year.
Yeah. Sam Lafferty, look, if he had been a little more consistent throughout the season, I'd be open to giving it to him, but he had a good start. Hasn't been as good since. 650. Let's get some texts in here. On the unsung hero, this one, I would still give it to Soucy. Kind of the effect that you don't notice until it's not there. That in itself is very unsung.
Yeah, but people have credited how important Soucy is to this lineup.
I also just don't think he's played enough to...
What is this, the NBA?
Yeah.
For those who don't know, you have to play a certain amount of games to qualify for
starting this year.
NBA, yeah.
And it felt like Joel Embiid, until he got injured, was just going to play the exact number of games he had to play.
Right.
Joel Embiid just makes me mad, man. Never plays in Denver, too. He's a coward.
Oh, yeah, you're a big Jokic stan.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
650. Lotso, how could Garland not get it?
Because he's been sung. All year he's been sung.
But that's what I'm saying.
It's an unsung hero award. It's not like sneaky MVP award. It's not like unsung.
He has a good chance of winning because I think people view it as a sneaky MVP award. But I don't think he would get it. Teddy Bluger.
Theodore's Bluegers, yeah.
Teddy Bluger as well. Casey DeSmith, that one coming in. That's a sneaky one. The only goalie to ever win, I believe, is Eddie Lack.
Friend of the show.
So a lot of guys, and this one, 650, 650. In a market like Vancouver, if a player is doing well, they will be sung. That's true as well. Like, we just talk about...
That's the challenge of giving out this award.
We talk about every player in Vancouver.
How can you be unsung for an entire season? Wouldn't it be more at the beginning of the season, this guy isn't being sung, so say for Connor Garland, at the beginning of the season, you don't expect him to have success across three different lines, yet
then
here he is.
Call it a most improved player award.
But he's also not. He's just performing better than
I would say
expected,
Garland is
which
the most
I think is
player.
Unsung.
Yeah.
Because if
there's
you're saying,
so many
oh,
like, definitions of unsung.
If you say, really oh, too. It could be Casey DeSmith, well, he was sung early for being one of the best backups. Like, everyone's going to get their praises when they perform well.
Mm-hmm. That's true. 650, 650. Also, we were talking about Dakota Joshua a little bit and his potential contract. I did want to get some texts in from that. This one, give him 3x3, baby. I bet he'd take a show-me contract. I don't know if 3x3 is a show-me contract.
No.
Like, if he ends up with 3x3 in Vancouver, I think that's a fair enough raise. Though I could see him getting more on the open market, so maybe it is a bit
the
of a show me deal.
The cap is going up.
The cap is going up. 650, 650.
There's one more bit of tea after you read this.
Yes, text. Matt and Ladner. Guys, it's a career year. You never overpay for a career year. Let another team make that mistake.
3.5 isn't an overpay.
I also,
that's accurate to his value.
I'm willing to make the bet that this isn't his career year. If you put him in a position, a more offensive position, I think there's more to get from Dakota Joshua. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he gets that opportunity and it doesn't work out. But that's kind of the bet you'd be making. And if it hits, if he ends up being a top six guy for you and ends up maybe factoring in on the top unit power play every once in a while, 3x3 or a little more looks like a fantastic deal.
Special teams, special plays.
Special players.
Special players. The last bit of tea, some hot tea actually, out of... the Vegas Golden Knights. Tomáš Hertl has returned to practice without a non-contact jersey. Will not play tonight against your Vancouver Canucks. Looking for a weekend start for the Vegas Golden Knights. Are you worried?
Am I worried about Vegas getting Tomáš Hertl?
Mark Stone still. We don't have a timeline for Mark Stone. Lacerated spleen, I believe, which just sounds awful.
Yeah. You generally do not want your spleen to be lacerated.
Yeah.
That's bad and not fun. I'm not too... It's so hard because I just don't know how he's going to fit in Vegas.
And there's only, what, 8 games left for
eight
them?
Games left, and I don't know how long that fit is going to take. So here's what I'll say is if you have to play Vegas in the second round, like they make it through Edmonton or whatever team they end up playing in the first round, if you have to play Vegas in the second round, that's when I start to get a little more worried about Hurdle's impact.
And that's a possibility.
That's a possibility. I think for, like, there's a chance the Canucks would play Vegas with him in the lineup on Monday because Vegas is here in Vancouver almost a week from now, depending on how he progresses and all that. We'll see how he fits in there. That's when I'm not really worried about Hurdle's fit in Vegas. You give him a few weeks, a month, though. That's when I start to worry about it a little bit more. I don't know where he's going to slot in, too. We'll see.
Second round matchup. You have your choice of McDavid, Draisaitl, and the Oilers, or Eichel, Hurdle.
I'm taking Vegas.
You're taking Vegas.
Vegas, baby! Vegas!
Yeah, Victor's on board.
You realize that would mean that Vegas just took out the Oilers.
Yes. I just, the McDavid-Draisaitl combination, just, it scares me, man. It's a lot. And hey, look, Vegas has also, neither of them would be easy.
No. I mean, Stanley Cup playoffs seldom are.
Mm-hmm. I just, with Vegas's current form and their kind of goaltending issues, not that Edmonton is without goaltending issues.
Mm-hmm.
I just think if Edmonton is firing on all cylinders, they're a really, really difficult team to beat. They've been hot for so long. Both teams are.
One team has gotten it done in the playoffs. The other one hasn't.
I choose Vegas.
All right. I choose Edmonton. Give me the CanCon, baby.
Would be fun. That would be fun. Stocks going up.
Yeah, sure.
What I'm worried about.
RCIB shares really just popping.
On the rise.
Before we go, you two completed your homework from last week. You both watched Ocean's 11.
We did. Victor and
we
I.
We did.
Thank you.
Separately.
We didn't watch it. We watched it together, actually.
Can we get a quick review?
I thought it was good. I did not think it was as good as you hyped it up.
Why not?
I just, there were moments where it dragged a little bit, especially first half of the movie.
When they were putting the team together?
When they're putting the team together, I was like, okay, this could have been done a little quicker. It was good. I would watch it again, but I wasn't like, oh, man. Like, when I watched Shawshank Redemption, I was like, holy crap, this movie is amazing.
Really?
But when I watched Ocean's 11, I was like, oh, this is a good movie.
Yeah,
it was worth watching.
Victor?
Yeah, I thought it built a bit slow. It jumped around a lot. I was kind of confused. I will say the ending was good. The ending was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love a good heist movie where there's a twist.
Yeah.
You know?
And there's a twist.
Yeah. And so that's what I liked.
Yeah.
The fun thing about Ocean's 11 is when you go and watch it back now and you actually know what the twist is at the end, you spot the things that... Mm. Set up the twist.
I'm going to tell you right now, I'm probably not going to watch it again.
No, now you have to. Hold on. Now you have to watch Ocean's 12 and Ocean's 13.
I heard those are not good.
No, they're fine. And they're
also,
just as good.
I don't think they're on streaming, so.
Ah, you can find it. And then obviously you have to watch Ocean's 8.
Mm-hmm. I'll watch Ocean's 8.
There you go.
I'd probably watch Ocean's 8 before. I've heard better things about that than the other two.
They're all good.
Regardless.
They're all good.
650. One text before we go. Since we were talking about, hey, would you rather play Vegas or Edmonton? Mm-hmm. Justin and Langley, I would also much rather lose to Vegas than lose to Edmonton.
What?
In terms of like, if you lose to Edmonton, those fans are just...
Whatever.
Oilers fans are starting to become some of my most hated fans in the NHL.
Get in line. We're right there
with them. So cocky.
We are right there with them.
They are too much. No, but they're like
Canucks fans are
arrogant.
Too much.
Canucks fans, look, there's a sense of still like they haven't won. The Canucks haven't won, so there's a sense of like underdog to Canucks fans.
Uh huh.
Oilers fans are so arrogant, man. And even with with this team, they haven't won.
I would suggest looking in the mirror.
I don't know. I disagree. I go on Twitter. Oilers fans are some of the most condescending. People at
you,
times.
You wanna,
I'm not saying
wanna,
all of them.
You want to talk about Twitter content from fan bases?
Oh,
really?
Look.
You want to bring that up here?
Like, no.
There's no contest who has the most toxic fan base in the NHL.
Yeah,
on
but
Twitter.
The Canucks is at least like fun while being toxic. Okay. Oilers are just annoying, man. I'm so done with them.
That's just because you don't cheer for that
I'm
team.
I'm so done. No, it's just their whole thing is. I don't know. Anyway.
I'd rather lose to the Oilers. I hate Vegas.
Vegas, but like, who's gonna be arrogant from Vegas? They're gonna be whatever. Bye, Vancouver. Edmonton would hold it over Canucks fans for years. It would be so annoying. Anyway, keep your texts coming in, 650-650. Dunbar Lumber text line. Who would you rather lose to? That's a bad question. We're not gonna answer that. But keep your texts coming in. On the other side, Yannick Hansen is gonna join us. It is the People Show. Josh Elliott Wolf, Dominic Schmatti on Sportsnet 650.